You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Every therapist has stories, those moments in your career when you look back and you recognize that something shifted for you. And so as I've talked to therapists, they all can tell me their war stories, the times in the trenches of when things just went upside down and they didn't expect it. I remember my early days. This is one of those moments when I realized that couples therapy, the way I'd been taught to do marital therapy, might have some problems, and maybe there were better ways of going about this. Billy and Susie, and those aren't really their names, but Billy and Susie were in my office. They'd been in my office for some time, and what I recognized is that every time they came in, they had an argument. And in my mind, those arguments were ridiculous, but they would come back the next week. And over time, I would wonder why they kept coming back. They acted as if all they wanted was me to referee their fight, to decide who was right and who was wrong, over things that I thought were rather insignificant, and it didn't matter who was right or who was wrong. And all I could watch was the damage unfold. So I remember this one, and it ended up being our final session, at least our final session as a three group. There was a follow-up that was just me. But in this moment, I remember the three of us were sitting there, and Billy and Susie were once again bringing up their conflict point. Now, at that point, they were there because they felt like they needed to learn how to communicate better. And as you probably know from my material, I don't believe that communication really is the issue. They were understanding each other perfectly, and they were understanding me perfectly, and they were hitting a roadblock. So there they were discussing some things about the house, some things that Billy wanted to change, some things that Susie wanted to change, and neither was agreeing with the other. Both had a different list of the improvements that needed to happen in the house and how they needed to go about it. And I remember that moment where Billy said, "Can't we?" And he was trying to find a compromise. And I saw the shift. When he said, "Can't we?" Susie crossed her arms, crossed her feet, looked at me, and said to him, "It's my way or the highway. It's my way or the highway." And in that moment, Billy snapped. He didn't say anything, but he got up, grabbed his coat, and hit the highway, literally speaking. He left and never turned back. Now, what they were talking about was completely insignificant in the greater scheme of things. In fact, when it happened, Susie looked completely shocked. And I said, "What is surprising to you? You did ask whether it was the highway or your way." And he's responded, "It's the highway." And she looked at me and she said, "I never suspected that there was any other way than my way." And I remember in that moment, I said something that I only partially regretted. It was in a less than therapeutic way, but I looked at her and said, "You're full of crap." And she looked shocked. And I said, "This whole process, you've been full of crap." Now, most people expect the therapist to play neutral mediator, and I had tried to do that, and I realized that neutral mediation was not helping their process because they kept bringing up the same mundane issues week after week without a willingness to go any deeper. And when I tried to stay neutral, all they did was to stay with those minimally effective, not really useful, not really important topics. And indeed, Susie had been full of crap the whole time. The reason was because they had gotten to the point, and I'll be honest, Billy was too, they'd gotten to the point that all they were doing was trying to best each other, to find out who could win in this process. And that was what they were coming to me for. One wanted to walk away the winner, to be right, to be the one who was going about this the right way. And the other person was somehow trying to mess up the process. And over, they tried to pull me in to the process to referee their fight. Here's the problem. Nobody was right in that process. Neither were right about what they were saying and doing. Neither were arguing or talking about things of any significance. Both of them were headed down a street that was just a dead end from the very beginning because they never would get off the unimportant and look at anything of importance. Now, some people would say that those little fights were about bigger things. And I think there is some truth to that, but let's talk about the truth of that, and let's think about how that might be affecting your relationship. I want you to think back on the arguments that you've had. Just kind of quickly write them down. You don't have to write down a full synopsis, but just, you know, some of the headlines of those fights, whether it was about the restaurant to go to, the vacation to have, how to have sex, when to have sex, when to feed the kids, when to have kids, when to buy the car, when to buy the house, when to go on vacation, where to go, all of those things, all those details that come in life. Write down the places where you disagreed, not the topics that came up, but the places where you disagreed. And then I want you to do a careful analysis and ask yourself, which one were truly important? Divide them into the big ones and the little ones. The big ones are those they really have to be hammered out. And then the little ones are the ones that really didn't matter. I mean, we kind of sometimes get into this mindset where the little things are big and then the big things, there's no room for them. I think about that when I watch as people argue about where to go to dinner. Sometimes they act as if it's the last meal they'll ever have on earth and they have to pick the right place every time. And yet, probably tomorrow night, there'll be another decision on where to eat or what to have. And yet, we act like they're big. So much so that they're constantly inflicting a little bit of damage on the relationship because they're acted out as if they were the big deciding factors in life. In reality, they are small stuff. And so just divide out the ones that are the big ones, the ones that really are pivotal points in life that can change the direction of the relationship. And then the rest are the little ones. Now, as you step back, you're going to notice a couple of things about that. The big ones really, truly do need to be settled. But when you're trying to settle the big ones, they're often knocked down by the fact that you've been dealing with the little ones all along. And the question is always, were you really headed towards settling the big ones? Or did they get shuffled aside? Did you have an argument about it that never was resolved? Or maybe you didn't even have an argument because you've been so stuck on those little ones all along. The little ones, step back and ask, did they matter? Were they worth the consequences to them? Or do they just add to the difficulties of settling the big ones? Because that really is the heart of this. We only have so much energy, and we only have so much connection. And the question is how we're going to resolve the level of energy and the level of connection to add to any certain topic. And we need the connection in order to work through the big issues, but unfortunately, those little issues tend to rob us of the connection. It's kind of like, you know, if you're spending your money all the time on fast food and a candy bar and drinks and all that kind of thing, then you might not have the resources that you want for something else. I remember as a child, you know, it was all about saving up my allowance. And I had two choices. I could spend it, and I often did, or I could save it up for something bigger and better down the road. And I kind of think that's the way we do life. Now, my father worked at a church that was on the corner of the edge of downtown, and right across, kind of catty-cornered across, was a little market. I spent a lot of time at the church, running around the church and going to church events. And so my allowance that came to me, I often ran across the street and grabbed me some penny candies. And I don't even know if they were actually penny candies, but, you know, close to penny candies back then. And I would spend a lot of my money on that. Well, my brother was a bit of a saver. And so it always made me a little bit jealous when he was able to afford bigger things, some things that really were kind of cool. And I didn't have the money for them because I had eaten the sweets and had failed to save that money. There are other times when I had a goal. And I would save that money and save that money and save that money. And then when my brother would go across the street, I'd be a little bit jealous because he was getting those sweets. But that is the balance point with any resource. Do you spend a little at a time or do you save it up for something big? And it's true about connections and big events in life. Do you spend it all little by little bit on arguments that don't matter, on struggles that really are insignificant and really in the grander scheme of things, the scope of life, aren't significant? Or do you save up that connection and make sure you have it for those places when life gets tough and the connection really has to be tested for those big events? Which one do you do? Oftentimes, we find ourselves constantly doing those little ones, so much so that we never get around to the big ones. So why do we get wrapped up in those little ones? Well, I think that there are three primary reasons. There are some other reasons. I just did a training for my VIP members. VIP members are people who have signed up to, and said, I want more help. I want more training. I want more coaching. And they've joined a process where they're really serious about that. So I really added in some extra pieces on this. But let me give you the kind of the big three that I think are what get in our way. The first one is control. We all want control. Unfortunately, what we end up doing is we try to control the world around us. Why do we want control? Because of fear. Whenever I watch somebody trying to control somebody else, or when I watch somebody give up control, to abdicate their control to somebody else, I know what's really operating is fear. And while it may not look like it or feel like it to the other person, that's what's going on. There's a control piece of saying, I'm afraid of how life is going, so I've got to step in and make it go the right way. A lot of times in our culture, we've raised this control thing to kind of as if it's a badge of honor. Oh, you know me, I've got to have it right because I'm just a controlling kind of person. Well, what they're really saying is, you know me, I've got to have it my way because I'm scared to not have it my way. That's the nature of control. We need to call it for what it is. We try to control the things that we don't really have control over. Recently did a podcast about that we control the things we can't control or try to control the things we can't control. And then we abdicate control for the things that we can control. We're reaching outside of ourselves instead of reaching within ourselves for the things we can control. But that's the big one that leads to these small arguments. We're all about trying to control that world around us. And so when there's a small argument, it's usually because I want my way, right? That's what leads to those little fights about where to eat and what to do and how to have vacation and when to have sex and all those things. Is I want things my way. And behind that is a loss of the fact that this really is about a partnership, being a we. When you're building a we, there's not that place for control. There's not room for that because you recognize that you've got a partner in this that you need to move forward with together. And so we set aside control when we decide to move towards that place of being a we. But control gets in our way. The second place that we get into trouble is displaced anger. Why displaced anger? Because when we haven't processed anger, either by releasing it or moving through that, you know, dealing with the anger and getting to the bottom of it, and do remember that anger really is about hurt. But when we allow that anger to resonate within us, it's going to leak out somewhere else when it's not processed. One way to process it is to move back and say, okay, that's about hurt, that's about pain, and I've got to figure out how to move beyond that. The other way is to say, I've just got to let that go. I'm not going to stay in this place of anger any longer. I'm just going to release it. Either way, though, is about finding a way through the anger instead of allowing the displaced anger to leak out. So let's say that you're upset about something in your relationship, some big thing in your relationship. It's not safe to fight about that. So you fight about where to eat, or you fight about the clothes to buy, or you fight about the car to buy, or the color of the walls, or anything else that comes up. You're just going to put your foot down to prove that you're angry. That's another place that anger leaks out. And the other reason, and it's a big one, is disconnection. When we're disconnected, when we don't have that level of connection with somebody, things are going to irritate us more. When you're already on the outs with somebody, everything they do is going to look crazy. Think about this process. When you first fall in love, there might be some things that your significant other does at that point that you find really, really cute, right? Because you're really connected. But as that connection wanes a little bit, that same thing might irritate the fool out of you. And the difference is in the level of connection. When you're connected, it becomes cute again. The less connected you are, the more irritating it is. And that's just the nature of how we relate to somebody. And so part of the problem with those small things is that there's a level of disconnection. And that disconnection begins to feed the irritation. And the irritation comes out in bickering with each other, fighting with each other, arguing over things that really either don't need an argument or won't be solved through an argument. So what's important here is to note the level of insignificance. To look at something and say, is it a big deal? If it's a big deal, it needs to be faced. But if it's not a big deal, to recognize it's an insignificant thing, it's not a big deal, and decide to let it go. Look at how the conflict that comes out of those small things in the end affects and damages the relationship. Be aware of how that happens and decide that you're not going to keep up that end of it. Now, how do you do that? Well, number one, you decide to deal with all conflict, big pieces, small pieces, whatever it is, in what I call PS mode. And PS mode is problem-solving mode. PS mode is different than argument mode. Argument mode is really about two different people with two different opinions trying to convince the other person of their opinion. Problem-solving mode is, how can we solve this? What's interesting to me is to watch couples where one person will go to the problem-solving mode and the other person wants to continue the argument, which tells me that we really like something about that argument rather than the solving of the issue. We just get something out of continuing that argument. Don't be that person. Decide you're going to stay in problem-solving mode. Problem-solving mode has nothing to do with the other's personality, the other person's psychopathologies, the other person's inborn traits, the other person's family, you know, anything about all of those personal traits. That's not what it's about. It's about the topic at hand. If you're thinking about where to go on vacation, how do you problem solve that? If you're thinking about the problems in your connection, how do you get to a different place of connection? I've played this game many times with couples, and they'll talk about how disconnected they are, and they want to argue about the disconnection. Even when I say, what would it take to move you back together, they immediately go back to an argument. What we leave is the PS mode to go back to the argument mode. Commit yourself to PS mode, problem-solving mode. You're going to get to the place where it can be solved. Then ask yourself a couple of questions. One, does it really matter? And two, is it really worth it? And those are two different questions. You might say, yeah, you know what? This does matter to me. I really do want pizza tonight. Then you ask yourself the question, does it really matter? I mean, in the big piece, does it really matter? And sometimes you don't even get to does it really matter because, or is it worth it, because you realize it doesn't really matter, right? And so those are two different questions to get you out of your frame of reference and really be sure that in the moment, you're making a difference between those big things and those little things. Now, I gave an 8-piece method for members of the VIP program, but for you, I think it's important to start with these pieces. To decide that you're going to stay in problem-solving mode. And the second is to ask yourself the question, does it matter and is it worth it? Now, if you find yourself stuck, that might be time, might be a good indication that you're ready for a little coaching, ready for some more training. If so, I've got some related resources down below the show notes on the left-hand side below the show notes. And part of that would be an invitation. If you already have the Save the Marriage system, it may be time to step up and join us in the VIP program. Otherwise, use this as a way of making sure that when you're dealing with something, it matters to deal with. And if it doesn't, you don't get stuck in the arguing and the bickering mode. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.